السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله والحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Welcome, we are here today for our follow-up week of Eid for Soul Food. Really, really happy to be here with everybody, alhamdulillah. I know that, you know, we hopefully had a really good day of Eid last Friday. Had a good time catching up with our family. I don't know how much we can honestly do in terms of celebrating our community COVID. But inshallah, everybody had a decent time. How are you?
Good, alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Back home safe in Atlanta?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. We're kind of getting back to the swing of things. I know the seminar is starting in literally like 3 weeks, so the grind is back, right? The hustle continues. So it's crazy. I don't know how you feel, but I was going through the calendar and I was like looking at how it's already the month of August, and my wife and I were talking about like a purchase that I had made last year, and I was like, oh yeah, that was like 5 months ago, and it's like wait, I did that in October of 2019, and it's like 2 months away from being October 2020, and so I don't know how your year has been in terms of its flight, but yeah.
I feel like this summer was so weird because it was so slow, but it went by so fast.
Yeah.
So when I was sitting down, it's like, oh man, like, you know, I have the rest. Someone emailed a question. They're like, yeah, I need this for the summer. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know why they're emailing so early. Like, we have so much time.
Yeah.
And then, like, no, we're at the end of summer. Like, school people are back in school. So much that has happened. I'm like, wow, this summer has went by so fast, but the days are so slow.
It's so ajib. It's like an episode of, like, if anybody's watched the show called Black Mirror, like, it's almost like an episode of where it's like really trippy, right? You're like, oh wait, it's already August, but why do the days seem like they're like 40 hours long? it's really messing with people's minds. But alhamdulillah, you know, life continues and moves on, and you know, inshallah, the next year has good in store for everybody and their families and their loved ones, inshallah. And so, you know, we're back. And you know, what was another crazy thing? I remember I was in a meeting last night with some of our youth committee here at Roots, and we do this thing called a Friday weekly check-in. And I was like, does anybody have any feedback for, you know, this coming months of the check-ins? And they said, well, you know, is it possible for us to move it to a later time in the day on Friday? And I was like, oh, that's weird. Why is that? And they're like, well, school starts next week. And I'm like, wait, what? I did a double take. I was like, school starts next week. Oh my God, it's like mid-August next week. Like, it really threw me off in terms of how fast, like, you know, that time goes. But honestly, man, wal asr, right? Wal asr in the insan al-fi khusr. It's crazy.
It's so crazy. I was just talking to my mom about it too. And she was just like, because I was telling her, you know, I got to see my mom for the past week.
And right.
These past couple of months have been hard. I'm not seeing you. She was like, yeah, it's been a year. A year. She's like, yep, the last time I was here was July 4th. I left July 4th, 2019.
Oh my gosh.
July 31st, 2020. So I was like, wow, it's definitely been a year. That is insane.
Subhanallah. If anybody's, you know, y'all are watching and you're kind of feeling the same way, that like time is just really, really just fleeing away, you know, this past year, I think everyone is so caught up with like the pandemic and coronavirus and everything like that. But you know, what's crazy is that like Allah, but in the Mal'usr Yusra, you know, when Allah gives something, like he follows it up with something that's easy. And you know, I don't think anyone can deny you know, those of us who are, you know, alhamdulillah, so blessed to not be affected, you know, too directly by the virus itself, we can say that, you know, at least time is going by and things are kind of, you know, getting inshallah a little bit better as the days continue on. And so alhamdulillah, you know, we're here back at Roots, and inshallah, a lot of cool things in store for this, you know, coming semester here at Roots. We have a lot of plans coming up. You know, I know for sure, Ustada Fatima, you're obviously continuing on with the Women's Study Circle and the Exploring the Quran series that you do on Wednesdays. And, you know, we're back with Soul Food, and inshallah, we're going to be doing some cool college programs upcoming this semester. And then I have a brand new series starting for teens on Monday, literally called The Five, which is essentially going to be like Aqidah 101 for teens. It's going to be something that's really interesting. So we got a lot of things in the works. So alhamdulillah, we're glad that you guys are be able to join us this semester, inshallah. So today we are basically wrapping up, kind of like putting a tie on the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, right? Because next Thursday we're starting in the same surah. We're going to be finishing Surah Al-Qasas this coming month of August, but the last 15 to 20 verses in Surah Al-Qasas, actually, I would say the last 15 to 16 verses in Surah Al-Qasas, is about a person by the name of Qarun. And so today we're actually wrapping up in verses 74 and 75. We're wrapping up the lessons from the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And in the first ayah, if you guys have your virtual Qurans or your PDFs or your apps on your phone, whatever you may have with you, the first verse that we're going to be talking about today is verse 74. Verse 74 in Surah Al-Qasas, which is the 28th chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about a day, right? He says, Yawma yunadihim, right? That there will be a day that will come, فَيَقُولُ أَيْنَ شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ. That there will be a day that will come when he will call out to people saying, where are the partners that you associated with me? Where are the things that occupied your time that you spent rather than giving me my rights and my due diligence? What where are those things now? And so, you know, myself and Salah Fatima were talking a little bit ago, and we were kind of bringing up this idea that sometimes this verse really relates to a lot of young Muslims, that, you know, there are times where life gets very real, right? For example, when you're sitting down and getting ready to take an exam, life becomes very real at that moment, right? Sometimes that week leading up to the exam, we may be able to flee from the reality of the exam or the quiz or the test. But when you sit down in that chair and your teacher's like, all right, you got 1 hour, here it is, your final exam that's going to determine whether you go and you get your credits for this course or not. And life gets super real. So Ustada Fatima, how do you relate to this ayah? How do you relate to this verse as a young Muslim yourself, and also as a person who's been in a community of young people?
I think that one of the biggest ways that, one of the biggest things that I see when I listen to this ayah is that a lot of times we think, okay, like this is talking about the disbelievers and how they associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now that is the day of judgment. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking them, you know, where are those people or those things that you're associated with? And when I think about these verses, I like try to think about a little bit about myself or my friends or like whatever kind of situation you're in, like especially when you're in college, right? You're in college and say like you live with your parents, and right now things are hard. Very hard, you know, a lot of people are still staying with their parents and stuff, not going to dorms and stuff like that. And you know, your parents, they always tell you, like, you're like, I'm going to see so and so, I'm going to hang out with so and so. And your parents are kind of like, well, why do you hang out with that person so much? Like, why don't you spend time with the family? Or why do you go there so much? Why don't you spend time with the family? And granted, like, family's family, so they can be a little extra sometimes. But then when you get in trouble or like something crazy happens and you end up feeling like you're all alone, like where are those friends? Where are those people that, you know, you were okay with arguing with your family about just to see them? You're okay with arguing and making bad blood between you and your family members just to hang out with them. And now that things are very difficult or things are very hard and you need somebody to be there, or you need somebody that you can lean on, you don't have anyone, that is a very important thing. That is a very important reason why it's so important for us to be mindful of the people that we are around. And it's not saying don't have friends. It's not saying don't depend on people, don't lean on people, but it's saying be wise in the people that you choose. Be wise in the things that you choose to do in this world. Because when you are not wise about that, when you're not wise about it, when you really don't actually put a lot of thought into it, when things really get difficult and things really hit the fan, you will find yourself being alone. And that's not the true definition of friendship. That's not the true definition of having people being there for you, you know? So for me, I learned that a lot in college. I learned a lot in college that, especially my first semester of college, I had so many friends. Quotation marks. I had so many friends, so many people that I would hang out with and so on and so forth. But when things got difficult, you know, there wasn't so many. There's just one or two or whatever the case may be. And I learned in that moment the importance of, you know, just being selective with who I will sacrifice things for and who I wouldn't. And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you know, to be mindful of the people that we're around. Why the Prophet tells us, you know, that so talk so much about companionship and things of that nature. And so we don't want to end up, and I know these are examples about this world, but we don't want to end up in the hereafter where we're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have sacrificed our salah to hang out with so-and-so, or we sacrifice our fast because, you know, this person's cooking this and I don't want them to think that I'm super religious. Or we sacrifice, you know, all kinds of things for people who on the day of judgment are not, they don't have anything, you know, there to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to be in that situation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, "Anna shuraka ya ladina kuntum taz'amun," where are the people you chose over me in your life? Where you decided, you know, hanging out with them, being with them, doing all these things for them was more important than your worship to me. Where are those people now? So that is something that I was really thinking about when I heard this particular verse.
SubhanAllah. Yeah, that's actually really powerful because it almost kind of segues into the next ayah that, you know, Allah kind of mentions in the surah. And in the next ayah, it kind of mentions, you know, something that you were kind of lightly touching upon, which is the idea of being held accountable for your actions. Because, you know, one thing I think a lot of people, and I know I myself struggle with this as well, is bringing a sense of reality to our actions in this life. Right? Because, you know, the reality of this life is that it almost presents to you this facade that you can get away with things, right? Like you can just brush certain things under the rug because the nature of this life itself is that one of, you know, hiding, right? You can hide whatever you want to hide. I mean, if I want to lie to somebody and I want to kind of, you know, brush it under the rug, I'm able to do it. Or if I want to sneak away and do something, or if I want to not do something that I'm supposed to do, I can flee from my responsibilities and somehow get away with it where nobody will find out ever. But in this ayah, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of makes it very, very clear where he actually says, وَنَزَعْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ شَهِيدًا, right? That we will call a witness from every ummah, right? We'll call a witness from every ummah. And so a lot of people are like, oh, what's the witness here? Like, who's the witness that's going to be called from every ummah? Is it going to be me? Like, am I going to have to represent Dallas, Texas? Like, alone, that's really funny because Haris Pussy just logged on and he is not the person from Dallas, Texas. I got to call him out. So you see how Ustala Fatima's face has changed. There's a lot. We'll cover that at a later session. But
don't give him too much attention.
Don't give him too much fuel. Yeah. So, you know, there's this idea that, you know, oh, like, am I going to have to answer for other people? And that's the reality is that, you know, we, alhamdulillah, or we have this ability or this, I would say, blessing where majority of our life we're responsible for ourselves, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, has given us this body, this soul, this spirit to handle. And that's sometimes enough for people, right? Like, oh my God, like I don't need anything more than what I can already handle. Some people, I was talking to my sister the other day and we were talking about kids, right? We were talking about like, oh my God, like, you know, how do parents do it? Like they have to handle their own lives, their own bills and this and that. All of a sudden they have to handle two little things that run around their house at like 40 miles per hour. Like that's too much, right? Like,
how do you,
they don't sleep at night, right? Like, yeah, exactly. But they insist on living there. And so, you know, like, it's difficult. But one thing that, you know, the people, the scholars of tafsir, they commented on in this ayah is that the shaheed, right, the shuhada that actually be responsible or they'll actually testify are the prophets of Allah. The prophets of Allah, the people that they were sent to, they will be standing. Allah says, وَنَزَعْنَا مِنْ, right? وَنَزَعْنَا actually in Arabic means that we will draw from the community, كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ, from every community, we will draw from every community a witness. And, you know, the scholars of tafsir, they actually mentioned that when Allah draws from the communities of witness, it's said that the prophets of Allah will be resurrected on that day, and their people will be able to see them, and they will be able to see all their people. The people that believed in their message, the people that disbelieved in their message, and they will be asked to testify on behalf of these people. Did you believe in your prophets or did you not? How did you treat your prophets? And a lot of us are sitting here and we're like, oh, like that's more relevant towards like, you know, the people that were living during the prophets' times, right? Like during the times of Prophet Noah and Prophet, you know, Idris and Prophet Saleh and all these different people. But we are the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? Like we are actually 1400 years away from the Prophet. And I know it seems like a long ways away, but a way that Allah has preserved us into the community of the Prophet is by giving us his hadith, by giving us his traditions. And so we will be asked on that day, right? What, you know, how did you treat your prophets, right? And the prophets of Allah will be testifying on their behalf. And they'll say, well, these are the people that believed in me. These are the people that didn't believe in me. And then life all of a sudden gets very real, right? Because at that moment, Allah will present to you your deeds, your book of deeds. This is what you did in your life. Did you follow what you were told to follow? I mean, the Quran in and of itself is a literal kind of, you know, it's an accountability booster for us, right? It holds us accountable because the Quran in and of itself, it says, you know, in the salat tanha anil fahshai wal munkar, that you're supposed to pray. But some of us, we read that and we're like, yeah, but sleep is like really, really awesome, you know? Or like, you know, some of us read that, you know, we should abstain from desires, right? But we're like, oh, I don't know. Like, I think I can do just a little bit and like, you know, I'll get better later on.
Yeah.
But on that day, you're going to be held extremely accountable. And so, you know, one of the biggest lessons here that I kind of withdraw, that I took away from this ayah in and of itself, is that it gives us this idea of ownership over your mistakes.
Mm.
That there will be a time in which you will be presented in front of Allah and in front of the people who try to guide you towards good things. And sometimes, I know I wanted Ustadh Fatima to actually kind of comment on this. A lot of us, sometimes we feel really, really anxious when we are in a position where we're supposed to kind of, you know, be the voice of reason with people. Like, you know, when you're hanging out with your friends and you're like, oh yeah, you know, it's time to pray Maghrib. Should I say it or should I not? I don't really know. Maybe like, it's not gonna get taken so well. But there's a really beautiful, beautiful trait, you know, that if a person is able to be a voice of message to their friends and family or people who are around them, that, hey, maybe we should be doing this and taking a break from that. Or if you're in a circle of people who are talking about somebody else, you know, it's very intimidating to hop in there and be like, hey, guys, I don't think we should be talking about this person. It feels really uncomfortable for me. You know, I think we should maybe just give it a break for a second. It takes a huge amount of bravery to do that. And the prophets of Allah were masters at doing this, right? And so the Fatima, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Like, how do you feel about this ayah right here? Like when Allah says that there will be witnesses drawn from your communities that will testify on your behalf, and these will end up being the prophets. What do you have to say about this?
I feel like, you know, a lot of times when we think about the way that, when we think about being responsible or being the one to say something, we kind of have it in our heads that it has to be rude, or it has to be in a way that brings someone else down, or it has to be, you know, in a way that is obnoxious, or, and we may not use those words, but that's the feelings that we get. So therefore we decide to stay away from, you know, doing our responsibility.
Mm.
But what we learned from the Prophet ﷺ is that the very first thing that we learned from Prophet ﷺ is that he's Uswatun Hasana, that he's our example, that he's our role model, that we go to, you know, his tradition, his sunnah, his way. And that is how we're able to implement things in our life. And one thing about him is that the Prophet ﷺ had things that he was responsible for. He had a role, he had a mission, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala details that in the Quran in many places. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ was responsible for was yatlu alayhim ayatina, was to recite the verses, okay? So that the Prophet ﷺ's very first responsibility in his job description was to recite the verses upon the people. And this was showing the people that the Prophet ﷺ was the vessel in which the Quran came through.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't mean that he was, you know, like hammering it in people's head. He wasn't like going and like roughing people up and like, okay, listen to these verses. It was just more so he was just required to recite the verses to the people and get them familiar with it, to familiarize the people with the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second responsibility or the second job description characteristic that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet is that when you zakki him, and that his job was to purify them. And that purification, again, like the first step is reading the Quran, and that reading of the Quran, that reminder of the Quran leads to, you know, wanting to purify oneself, wanting to purify one's heart, wanting to be a better person. And so the thing about that, though, is that the Prophet ﷺ didn't go and like literally take people and throw them in the river and it's like, it's time for you to wash up and like get your life together. But it took like sitting down and being like a very personable person. It took the Prophet, you know, someone coming to the Prophet saying, you know, I want to commit zina, and him taking them to, you know, make wudu and then standing up and making salah with them, and then them still saying, I want to commit zina, and the Prophet giving them an analogy that made them understand why this is something that you shouldn't want to do or something that you shouldn't want to commit, right? And that's a form of purification. But what did he do? He took the person on a process. He took the person on a journey. And then you have the third characteristic and or job description of the Prophet, and that is wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal hikmah, that he was to teach them now the book and hikmah and the way, the wisdom, the teach them the Quran and teach them the way of implementing the Quran. And what's interesting about this is that yu'allimuhum al-kitaba, teaching them the book, again, it wasn't like the Prophet wasn't sitting down and saying like, if you don't do this, like, you're going to hell. Like, prayer time didn't come up, and then he's like, everybody's going to hell, we miss prayer. Like, that wasn't the way of teaching. That wasn't the method of teaching. That rather, the Prophet's approach was depending upon the people, depending upon the time, depending upon the situation, but it's always soft in nature, and it's always very personal. And we go through the job description or the characteristics of the mission of the Prophet because it's important for us to understand that our way of, you know, ya'muruna bil ma'ruf wa yanhauna 'anil munkar, striving for what is good and implementing and commanding good and forbidding what is bad and staying away from what is bad and telling our friends to stay away from what's bad, doesn't have to be in a way that is so hardcore and so offensive. It does not have to be that way. You know, if you're all sitting down in a room together, you guys are all chilling, everybody's sitting down, it's time for Maghrib, all you have to say is like, it's time to pray, I'm gonna go ahead and pray. If anybody wants to join me, please join me. Or you can get up, you can say, anybody gonna pray? If nobody responds, you did your duty of reminder. And you get up and you go and pray. And what's interesting is that in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, the characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman, the characteristics of the servants of the Most Merciful, one of the highest, you know, names you can be called. And one of those characteristics is when a person passes by some type of frivolity, he passes by, you know, they pass by some type of sin happening, they pass by some type of situation going on, that they pass by kiraman with honor and dignity. And when that ayah is talked about, it's talked about how Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, at one time, he had saw some people gambling. He was walking by, he saw them gambling. And it wasn't a situation, you have to be able to read the room. You know, Corona is not really reading the room right, but I have to read them. And so it wasn't a situation where Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was able to advise those people. So what he did was he just put his head down and he walked in the other direction. He walked away. And when he went, the Prophet then said to him, he said to him, when you left this morning, when you left your home this morning, you left Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, but when you came back an honorable man. And what that showed, sometimes it may not be the right moment and it may not be the right time to say something, but it doesn't mean that you failed in your responsibility as a brother or sister in Islam to your fellow people. That rather, sometimes just your actions show as are as much of a teacher as the things that you have to say. And so it's so important for us to be able to be compassionate and loving towards each other and towards people, but still not let each other fall into ditches. Like, your compassion, your love for somebody should make you want to stop them from, you know, getting in trouble, stop them from being in a situation, and vice versa. You cannot be the one who's always saying like, you need to do this and you need to pray and we need to get up and do this, we have to be better, blah, blah, blah. And when someone corrects you, then you feel like, oh man, like, so you're trying to say I'm a bad person? You have to be open to that correction as well. And real recognizing that all of this that we're doing here, this entire conversation, is to save us from when we're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have to explain to God why we decided to do the things that we did. Yeah. You know, why we decided to neglect the things that He asked us to do. It's all a protection and a saving for ourselves.
SubhanAllah, you know, one of the things that you said that really kind of, you know, hit me was that a lot of us kind of feel, I think human beings, we struggle with this tendency to communicate what we want out of people, right? Like, you know, if you're around somebody, you're like, hey, like, we should pray. And one of the biggest challenges for a human being is when a person doesn't reciprocate that sort of message, they don't listen to them. But this is a lesson from the lives of the prophets, is that they were not people who at the end of the day could control anybody, right? They were merely human beings. And this is actually something that Allah mentions in the Quran, right? That, you know, إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. That, you know, you cannot always guide those who you love, right? You cannot always guide to Islam the people that you always want to guide. There will be people in your life that you really want to kind of be in the same, you know, way of life, the same mentality, the same values, the same morals and everything as you are. But the reality is that Allah has created everybody different. Everybody hits religious, spiritual awareness at different times. And like Ustada Fatima mentioned, is that the role of the prophets and the way that we want to emulate the prophets is that we do what they taught us to do, which is you stand firm. You stand firm on your own beliefs. First and foremost, you gotta practice what you preach, right? Like, you can't be going around telling people, hey, it's Salah time right now, and then you like 45, 50 minutes late for your Salah. You can't go around telling people, hey, you know, it's really important to spend time with your family, and you're like the last person who ever is seen with their family. First and foremost, the way that the prophets of Allah used to do what they do is because they used to walk the walk. When the Prophet ﷺ used to tell people that, you know, when Allah sent down the ayah that says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you, O Muhammad ﷺ, to be anything except a mercy to mankind. Nobody challenged that idea because they saw it within him, right? They saw it within him. So first and foremost, you know, one of the things I think practical tips to take away from today is, if we want people around us to be, you know, with us in the same boat as us in paradise, and inshallah, the way that we confirm our spot is by being the best example we can possibly be. That's the first goal. And then the second goal, like Ustada Fatima mentioned, is be very kind and gentle in your message to other people, you know. Absolutely. And if they don't reciprocate, and if they don't kind of, you know, listen, or if they don't abide by the message that you gave them, man, there are people who didn't listen to the prophet. You know, like, who are you, right? Like, some people get so frustrated, like, oh my God, I keep telling my kids to pray. I keep telling my friends that we have to stop, you know, hanging out here. No one ever said that when you hit this spiritual awareness yourself that you're just going to start attracting multitudes to Islam. No, that's not the way it works. The Prophet the first 12 years of the Prophet's message, or the first 12 years of the Prophet's prophethood, he barely had a handful of people fleeing away to the city of Medina for 12 years. Yeah. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles, right? And I think it's very, very important to remember that lesson, is that, you know, number one, practice what you preach. And number two is be lenient on people's timing. When people decide, and when Allah puts hidayah in people's hearts, they are able to kind of approach it themselves, right? And at the end of the day, it's nothing that you really did, right? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in their hearts to actually turn to Him. And that's why they turn to Him. And one of the last things I wanted to mention here today is that there's a beautiful ayah at the end of Surah Al-Zalzalah. You guys can look this up, the surah in Juz'amma, a very short surah. Allah says, that the people, right, you know, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى, right? And every single atom's worth, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى, that every atom's worth of goodness will be shown that day, will be given its reward that day. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى, and every atom's worth of evil, shar, of evil, of wrongdoing, whatever it is, will be shown that day, and you'll be responsible for it that day. And this is a big reality of the Day of Judgment for us, right? That on that day, it's just us and Allah, right? Mm-hmm. It's us and God. And everything else that we try to flee away from and everything else that we try to get away from, and even deeds that you may have thought weren't really that great, but Allah elevated it because of its intention, will be out there on the open in front of you and Allah. And so, you know, one of that's one of my reflections from today, y'all, is to think about, you know, our sense of accountability with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because one of the ways we purify ourselves, and myself and Ustadha Fatima were talking about this idea of purification of the heart earlier today even. One of the most beautiful ways of purifying the heart is to be aware of the things that we do, right? There's a very famous hadith that Ustadha Fatima can probably recount even better than I can. مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. That those who know themselves, they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. Be aware of yourself and you'll be very aware of your relationship with Allah. Be honest, be candid, right? And that's one of the lessons that we wanted to kind of take away from today, inshallah. So the Fatima, any ending piece of advice for anybody or?
No, I think that sums it up.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So we wanted to keep this again very short and sweet. But we appreciate you guys hanging on with us for this episode of Soul Food. And inshallah, we'll be back with you guys tomorrow, next Thursday, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, for another session benefiting our college students. We have something really exciting that we wanted to kind of share with us, kind of in the preliminary works, but we thought that we'd kind of share this a little bit with everybody. After we're done with Suratul Qasas, what we're going to be doing is thematically breaking down topics for Soul Food. So topics like, you know, and we'll be talking about really relevant topics as well. Cancel culture, what it means to be an advocate for social justice. Where do you draw the line as a Muslim on morals and values, right? All these different topics that are always like on our minds, we're going to be kind of addressing them during Soul Food, inshallah, starting in the month of September. So we're really looking forward to going through that with you guys. May Allah reward you guys for being with us, being a part of our community. Jazakumullah khairan. Inshallah, we'll see you guys next Thursday again for Soul Food. Wassalamu alaikum.